Several years ago, when Iris and I were living in Fort Lauderdale, we went down to a gym in Fort Lauderdale and joined. And it changed our lives. Part of it was that it changed when we got up in the morning. In order to be able to get there at 7 o'clock and start at 7 o'clock, we had to get up a lot earlier than we normally did. Getting up early meant it also changed when we went to bed. We didn't get to see the 11 o'clock news anymore. It changed the clothes. We had to go out and buy some clothes just for that. And it changed our schedule. You add 2 hours in the morning, 3 days a week, you've got to move things around in order to be able to make sure you don't have any early morning meetings or coffees or anything like that. So it changed all the way that we did our lives, and it caused a lot of differences in our lives. But it also said something about us. It said something about who we were. It said something about our body image, something that we wanted to say about ourselves and who we are and what we're about. It also said something about health issues. It said that we were concerned about who we are and what our bodies were doing and how healthy we're going to be and how we're going to move into the future. And then it also said that this was a lifestyle for us. This is something that is different. This is who we are. This is the kind of people that we wanted to be. A couple years after that, in Fort Lauderdale, there was this ad, and I don't know to this day why we responded to it, but it was an ad for a boat timeshare. What you did is that they had this, everybody bought into the timeshare, and they had these boats. And you were guaranteed at least a minimum number of times a year that you could get a boat, but if it wasn't being used, you could use it yourself. You could come down every week and use the boat. They would maintain it, they would take care of it, they would gas it up, they would pay for the whole thing. All you had to do was show up at your appointed time. You got a half a day, it was right near the inlet to the ocean. You're going out to the ocean, you go fishing, you go motor, you go skiing, or whatever you wanted to do with your boat. And when you got finished, you motored it back in, you pulled up to the dock, you tied it off, and you walked away. You didn't have to worry about it. And they talked to us about buying into this timeshare for boats. And something just didn't seem right about it. Maybe it was too expensive, but they kept hammering on us. And the longer they hammered, the more the price went down. You know how that works. But my problem was with it was, there we go, I didn't see myself as a boat person. For whatever reason, I know there's lots of boat people here, and that's fine, but at that time and in that place in my life, I didn't see myself as a boat person. I didn't see us in a lifestyle of boaters. Because then you buy a whole new set of clothing. You have a different thinking pattern. You are aware of how things are going in the ocean. You're worried about what the temperature of the sea is, how big the waves are. You put those things become what is important to you. And for whatever reason, we decided that that's not what we wanted. We didn't want a lifestyle of a boat. And so we managed to make it out of there with our skins intact. Lifestyle says something about who we are, what you're all about. There's yuppies and gangbangers and preppies and boarders and dinks. Do you know what a dink is? Double income, no kids. And if you've got, both of you have got an income and no kids to spend it on, think about that. You're rich. Iris and I were never richer than when before we had the kids. I mean, we didn't have any salary, but boy, we were dinks, and we had the money. Let's see. Orders, goths with the black and the piercings and all of these are lifestyles. All of these say something about what is important to you. All of these say how you want to be seen by the world around you. Now, some of these groups and many others, including seniors, many of these groups are doing it just to make a statement. They want to say to the world, this is who I am. This is what I'm all about. Take it or leave it. Sometimes it's there to get a reaction. They do it to get to their parents. They do it to the Goths, the whatever. They do it in order to be able to get to their parents, to do something, to shake them up and that kind of thing. But for the most part, it's just what is important to us, what we believe. It's the premise on which we build our lives, this lifestyle. And whatever our lifestyle is, it can change. And in fact, you can be more than one lifestyle at the same time. You can be an executive, a banking businessman on Monday to Friday, and you can be a motorcycle gang, or not a gang, but a club member on the weekends. And even that is a lifestyle, the combination of the two. And all of these things, our lifestyles, inform our thinking and determine how we're going to spend our time, our talents, and our money. And they proclaim what is important to us. Right? So are these lifestyles. Well, in the book of Isaiah, God is calling the people to a brand new lifestyle. It's a lifestyle in which worship is the center of their existence. They are to worship God with all the other people in the house of the Lord. They are to learn what it means to be a follower, it says in the scripture. Learning God's way so that they can follow in God's path, in the direction that He would have us to go, to make God center in our lives, to make Him our lifestyle. He also talks about a lifestyle of peace, in which we beat our swords into plowshares and aren't trained, or we don't learn war anymore. But it's also a lifestyle of walking as children of the light. A lifestyle, a style of expectation, Isaiah talks about. A lifestyle of expectation, expecting not only the judgment that God is going to bring, but also His guidance and His grace. A lifestyle of obedience to God's will, getting our act together, being obedient to what God is calling us to be, so that we can be a community of faith and service. We can reach out to a world that is in need and make a difference in their lives while being obedient to God. He calls us to a totally different kind of lifestyle than what we are living right now. Paul in the book of Romans is telling us that Christian morality is not just being good, but it is a Christ-centered lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that is focused on Jesus Christ first, last, and always. And for the people in Rome, putting Christ first was a life or death issue. This was important stuff. To say that Christ is your life turned you away from the emperor and made things very, very difficult for you. And in fact, it could get you killed. It's a lifestyle of living as if the end were near, as if all of this was about to come to the end. If God was going to come tomorrow and bring this whole thing to an end, end the world, end suffering, end all the persecution, but end the world and all that we have in the world. It's the beginning of the end of the darkness, Paul talks about, where the darkness, the fear, the doubt, the pain, the persecution all finally goes away. And it's turning our backs on what the world values, short-term pleasures, self-destructive behavior, in order to be able to put on Christ and become somebody brand new. It's a lifestyle of celebrating morality as a virtue rather than a vice, celebrating compassion and caring. It is celebrating life lived on the edge, excited, full, abundant, ready to go, instead of just plodding along. It celebrates relationships renewed, reconciliation, getting back together with somebody that you fell away, that you had a problem and they had a problem, and maybe nobody remembers what the problem is anymore, but it still keeps you apart. It celebrates reconciliation, coming back together, finding forgiveness, and giving love. According to Matthew, people in Noah's times went happy about their business. They they did this and they that, they gave in marriage, they received in marriage, they married and gave in marriage. They did all the normal things that people do. They were just normal people. They were oblivious to what God was doing. They were not part of the kingdom. And so they didn't know what God was all about, what he was about. So what was God about? Well, he's about bringing beauty and grace into the world. That is, if you stop long enough to see it. He is about bringing faith into the world if you're willing to take the risk and reach out and make that leap. He is about bringing beauty into the world if you're willing to share it with other people. He's about giving us an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a world that is hurting, that needs to hear some good news. He also brings judgment. One who believes is taken, the one who doesn't believe is left behind. We have to choose which side we're going to be on. And he does it like a thief, not to steal, but quietly, on the side, but without letting us know ahead of time, with no notice. It's Paul. Matthew says that no one knows except the Father, and he's not talking. And if anybody tells you any different from that, it's a con job. Advent is a time of preparation, getting ready for the coming of the kingdom. So the question has to be, in this season of the year, are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the kingdom, or is it going to sneak up on you like a thief in the night, in your ordinary, everyday, common, normal lifestyle? The only way you can know if you will be ready, whenever it comes and however it comes, is to make readiness a way of life. To make readiness a lifestyle. To make readiness for the coming of the kingdom of God something you do every day. Not just when you think it's going to happen, not when there's a disaster, an earthquake, a fire, a flood, a hurricane. And you think, ah, that's another sign. That's the sign. That's the one that matters. I've got to get ready. We have to make readiness a lifestyle. A lifestyle of readiness says, ask, am I a better Christian today than I was yesterday? Am I ready if God chooses to come tonight? It's a lifestyle of anticipation, of leaning into the future, of celebrating promises fulfilled and hope revealed. Are you ready? It's a lifestyle that allows us to walk in the Lord instead of searching for the thief in the night. We can get a good night's sleep because we're ready. Amen.